Welcome to the West Coast Project Podcast for Better Call Saul. My name is Mike, and I'm here today to talk about Saul's second appearance in Breaking Bad, which was in episode 9 of the second season, entitled 4 Days Out. This episode first aired on May 3rd of 2009, a little more than 5 years ago. I wanted to go back and get a time frame reference for 2009. It's August of 2014 as I'm doing this podcast. So I went back and looked at some of the news for that date, and it was somewhat boring. There's actually not much going on in the world. Prime Minister Berlusconi was getting divorced. Madonna was trying to adopt a Malawian girl from Africa. The Somali pirates were getting caught. But what I thought might be more interesting and more pertinent to the topic is to go over some of the movie news from 2009 in early May. So some of the movies that were out then, Wolverine was number one, The Pale Horseman, The Beaver, and Hot Tub Time Machine were the big hits. And The Road actually came out that, or was about to come out. The release date, I guess, was acknowledged at that time. Matthew McConaughey was doing Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. And let's see, what else? The Soloist, Monsters vs. Aliens were out. Hannah Montana, the movie. So 5 years ago doesn't look like much on the calendar, but in the span of things that have passed and how social and cultural things have moved on, it's a long time ago. But that's when this episode first aired, May 3rd, 2009. It was written by Sam Catlin and directed by Michelle MacLaren, who was pretty instrumental director in the Breaking Bad franchise. So the episode was called 4 Days Out. And if you remember from our last podcast, this is right after Walt and Jesse hire Saul to help get Badger out of the predicament he's in with the undercover cop nailing him. And this episode has a short appearance by Saul. We see Saul explaining his money laundering policy, and this is all prompted by Walt's life expectancy, mistaken life expectancy based on a scan that he gets. Well, we'll go through the episode a little bit, but we see Saul explaining his money laundering policy, and the thing I remember when I did this rewatch, or the thing that flashed back to me, was the specifics and details of this episode. We see some really cool Michelle MacLaren montages and time lapse that brought back some pretty fond memories. But I also really like the specifics, the math that's involved in Vince Gilligan's writing, and the way that they describe Saul and his money laundering down to the penny and the percentage point. And we know exactly how much meth that they're making, how much money that they're making, how much they sell it for, how much Saul gets to launder the money, and how many percentage points he keeps for setting up these deals. So I really like that. You know, that was part of what made me really like the series back when I first saw it, was the details. Gilligan didn't just write this all in generalities, like they're going to make a lot of meth, they're going to make a lot of money, Saul's going to keep a chunk of it to help them. We knew exactly what was going on, down to the dollar of what each of them would make and how much all of the ancillary characters would make in their roles in this whole meth operation. So anyway, I really liked that, and that was part of what I enjoyed in the original part of the series. I hope that they continue these details when they go into the Better Call Saul series, and I don't see any reason why they wouldn't, because the same team is involved. And it's the formula that really worked well with Breaking Bad, and there's no reason not to continue it in Better Call Saul. So we start out this episode, season 2, episode 9, 4 days out, with Walt being, he's at the oncology center getting a CAT scan, and he's getting this scan to determine how well the chemo is working with his treatment for his cancer. And we pretty much see the family, Walt and Skyler and Junior and Hank and Marie, waiting in the waiting room. And Marie is putting her medical expertise forward by saying how much She knows about reading CAT scans, how it shouldn't take as long as they're being told it's going to take to get the results, how she could do it cheaper, how a technician such as her could read a CAT scan just as well as any doctor, if not better than the doctor. But we do see Walt get the scan, and he asks the technician how it looks, and he just says, "Everything's great. Talk to your doctor when the time is when the time comes to review it." But Walt peeks through the window and sees a reflection of the scan and sees a large white blotch on the portion of his lung that just looks terrible. Looks like something is spreading, and it just gives him the impression that things are a lot worse than they really are. And that sets into motion all the action that happens in this episode. Walt feels as if he has to work fast now to get anything for his family. He's probably thinking he has weeks, or if not maybe a month or two left to live, based on his misinterpretation of this CAT scan. So that sets everything in motion, and he sets up a visit to his mother under the pretense that he is going to ask his mother to make sure that she leaves the White family in the will when Walt's mother passes away. And we know now that Walt didn't have actual news from the scans, that he's projecting all this on a negative interpretation. But the things that happen are important because we see what happens when Walt thinks that he has a very short time to live. And we'll see later on that this episode introduces a pretty interesting mix of emotions, from despair of having no time left and being kind of desperate, to relief, to almost hopefulness that everything's maybe on the track to working out for Walt and his family. He's still close with Skyler. Hank and Marie are getting along. Junior's there. Everything's family. Family is looking really good. Jane and Jesse are together. They're making plans to do stuff. So everybody's kind of on a nice little upswing here, except for Walt's misinterpretation about, you know, that mark on his scan. So let's go into what happens in the episode. Walt has to tell a couple lies. He tells Skyler, of course, he's going to see his mom. And he tells Jesse that they need to cook the last of the methylamine in the barrel before it goes bad and loses its potency. Both of these are lies, of course. The meth is fine, and Walt's not going anywhere near his mother. He just needs time to get away for a few days to go with Jesse into the desert to get the meth cooked up before Walt thinks he's going to run out of time. And basically, that's the 4 days. 4 days out is the title of the episode, and that's how long we see Walt and Jesse in the desert. So before they go, Walt does tell Jesse he needs to take him out and do this cook. Jesse and Jane are planning to go to the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum, and those plans get interrupted by this cook. And so they are going to head out into the desert. And so Skyler drops Walt off at the airport under the pretense of visiting mother, and Jesse picks him up right from the airport in the RV. We see some cool little memory points here. The Funyuns appear in the RV, which were kind of a good little flashback. But they get out to the desert, 40 miles out on the highway, 15 miles out on that cool little two-lane road, and they park, and Jesse tosses his keys onto the counter, and Walt immediately reprimands him that he needs to put things where they belong and keep everything in the right place. So Jesse puts the keys into the ignition and doesn't see that the on light is blinking, so that the battery is now running down while they're working. We do see some cool cook sequences, the time lapse of the cook sequence and the desert sky and the montage of all that. Just really cool directing by Michelle McLaren, and the editing's awesome and all that. We get a little bit more math in that they are cooking 19 pounds of blue meth in this batch. That gives them a total of 42 pounds, and they're selling it for $40,000 a pound. So if you do that math, they have just cooked $672,000 of meth each. That's their split, less, of course, Saul's math for his money laundering and his fees and stuff. But they've got a lot more money now. That original money laundering formula that Saul had worked out for Walt was that $16,000 would bring him $9,960 after those fees. So they're looking like they're in a pretty much better spot. We also know that this amount of meth is too much for their meager distribution network of Combo and Badger and Skinny Pete. So we're going to see how they take this larger amount very soon and run into some more advanced distribution with Gus and all that. But at this point, they're pretty happy that they have this much meth and this much money potentially waiting to come in from their production of this much meth. So they're working for this, they're working on this for 2 days, and the generator runs out of fuel. And Walt wants to continue cooking that final 10 to 12 gallons of methylamine that's left in the barrel, but Jesse talks him out of it. He says, let's just take a break, go find a Denny's and a hot shower and a real bed and come back and finish it after we take a little bit of a break. But they find out that the RV doesn't start. The battery's been run down by Jesse putting the keys in the ignition, and they try to jump it with the generator. That doesn't work, so they have to make a battery. And they get this idea to make the battery from Jesse's inadvertent genius again. He's done this a couple times in this series. He implores Walt to make a robot or rocket fuel or a battery or something, and kind of trips over the solution. It wakes Walt up to it, and Walt puts together a battery. And he basically does this by taking galvanized metal from washers and screws and metal and coins and stuff, and he makes zinc for the anode part of the battery. He gets mercuric oxide and graphite from the brake pads on the RV for the cathode, and then potassium hydride in sponges is the electrolyte. So these three elements allow Walt to make a battery that it ultimately starts the car. So we get back to the airport, and we see another little, Walt and Jesse get back to the airport. We see another little element of their relationship in that Walt and Jesse review their deal. And they've come to this agreement that no matter what happens, Jesse will make sure that Walt's family gets his share. So there's a nice little element of trust here. And we see that as almost a feel-good part of Walt and Jesse's relationship. So Walt's picked up by Skyler. They get back to the hospital and see, or the scan center, the oncology center, and they see the scan results are really good. There's signs of remission. It's still stage 3 cancer, but the tumor's been reduced by 80%. So Walt now has the time that he thought he didn't have, and this causes him to, either out of joy or out of frustration or out of just relief, punch the paper dispenser in the bathroom. And we'll see that paper dispenser in the future as well. But it was a really good portrayal of emotions and how they're manipulated by these different events that happen. There's hopefulness among a lot of the characters. Everybody's happy. Walt and Skyler are happy together. Hank and Marie are happy for them. Junior, of course, is happy. It looks like Jane and Jesse are getting along. But Walt has started his little descent now. He's created two pretty big lies in lying to his partner, Jesse, about the methylamine, and, of course, to his wife, Skyler, about where he was. And, of course, in a way, I guess he's lying to his mother by using her, by saying that he's going to see her. But we see what Walt is capable of, but it does, after the end of all of this, leave us with a little bit of a feel-good in that he might have a chance. He might have some more time. He has a little bit of money. I remember at the time thinking, well, maybe that's enough to stop. You know, they didn't get caught. Walt has a little time. His family has the money now. He's kind of accomplished what he set out to do. That's about the number that Walt needed when he thumbnailed it out with Jesse in that auto wreckage yard. He thought he'd need about $700,000. He's really close to that now. So that's it for Episode 9 of Season 2, 4 days out. Next episode is number 10 in Season 2. Saul does not appear in this next episode, entitled Over. He appears in the next two, 11 and 12. 11 is Mandala and 12 is Phoenix. And we'll take a quick look at those in the next coming days and see how Saul's character continues to develop. So thanks for listening to West Coast Project and our episodes for Better Call Saul. If you want to connect with us, please use Twitter at @scathingtweets. Connect with us on Facebook at Facebook.com/BetterCallSaul podcast, or write to us at support@westcoastproject.com. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.